This is an Enterprise Times podcast with Andy Fawcett, CTO of Financial Force. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your role within Financial Force and what your day-to-day and month-to-month tasks are?
I'm one of the founding members. I've been with Financial Force from the very beginning. Prior to that, I worked on different platforms, .NET, Java. I was actually a COBOL developer back in the day, so showing my age a bit there. I'm primarily now responsible for architecture. I had many roles around R&D management, but architecture is my main focus and passion. I run an architecture group within Financial Force that manages the overall product architecture, as well as the architecture of how we use the platform, what new features are available, how we might consume different features. The platform's got several ways of doing the same thing these days. We focus on understanding what those options are and focusing on the best one for our customers' needs. That means often talking to Salesforce quite heavily, so I personally relocated out to San Francisco recently. That's been really beneficial from the point of view of having more closer relationships and conversations with Salesforce. So I spend quite a bit of time talking to those guys about what our needs are, how we're finding the current platform. So essentially, that's my role within Financial Force, working closely with the general managers to understand what their needs are from a product perspective. I spend time working with sales and support, so get pulled into different areas, particularly now I'm in the US. All good fun.
You recently announced some enhanced analytics functionality. Can you tell me a bit more about that, please?
Yeah, certainly. We've been working with Salesforce for quite some time now on their previously called Wave Analytics platform, now called Einstein Analytics. And we've been building scenarios around our PSA application, understanding what our customer needs are around that. And it has got to a point where we feel as though we can start delivering package solutions to our customers, and Salesforce are providing features and advancements to technology to allow us to do that. It's something that we're going to start rolling out and thinking more about what specific customer needs are and providing those as package solutions.
So you announced People Analytics last year. How are you taking it beyond that now?
Last year, that was really very much something that we were working on in a prototype stage. The analytics and Wave was pretty much at an infancy at that stage. It's fairly safe to say so from a Salesforce perspective. It's certainly moved on quite a lot since then. So we feel as though it's evolved to a point where we've actually got something that we can deliver to customers, as opposed to just show concept and get people interested and get use cases around. We've actually got something that we can package up. We're really excited to get that into customers' hands and see what they do with it, and obviously evolve it from that point forward.
What difference will that make to customers in terms of the outputs for them?
A lot of customers look to us in terms of what our domain knowledge is around our application. Sometimes they don't know what they don't know, if you see what I mean. So we're looking at providing them something out of the box that they can start using and start getting their heads around without necessarily having to understand what technology is about and the benefits they can get out of it, so they can get something more readily in their hands.
In the future, where do you see the benefits to customers? What's really exciting for customers?
Right now, it is obviously exciting from a point of view of, if you have a certain goal in mind of what you want to get out of the data that you're amassing in your org, it's very easy to create very great visuals, drill into that detail and see that from different perspectives that you yourself can imagine. But imagining different perspectives that you're not aware of and seeing trends and patterns emerging, and using predictive analytics features inside the Salesforce platform will allow you to see things that weren't perhaps visible to you before, and have you answer questions and steer your business in a more reactive way.
Can you give me some actual examples?
Some of the scenarios we've been talking about, not necessarily in the press release tomorrow, but we've been talking about using Project Health as one of those examples. So giving people utilization information, insights on how different resource allocations might be affected on the overall cost of the project. You might have certain skilled people in one location, you might have less skilled people in other locations, and the costs of flying them in versus using those different skill types. You might see analytics being used to give you comparisons on what the options are before you're assigning those skills, those resources. Certainly around resourcing a project, around looking at how a project's running, where it's heading, are some of the examples that we're looking at using.
Do you see that then going in the future beyond that, the pure analytics or predictive analytics, and going more to prescriptive analytics, where Financial Force will actually be able to indicate to the end user what they should be doing and possibly even taking it further and actually doing the allocation for them?
Certainly actionable is really the end goal for me. I think AI is great giving you these insights, but to some degree we've always had clever programs that can give you insights, but actually telling you that these resources are a better fit due to this geographical location of your project and the skills that you've currently got, or even looking in deeper into how you're utilizing your resource pool. You might be overutilizing certain individuals or certain resources and saying, well, they just might burn out in 12 months' time. You better start bringing in new resources or shifting people around. So I think for sure the whole resource management side of the product will benefit from these type of insights, to the point where you can actually just look at that and go, yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to assign the resources that way.
People use different terminologies for things like augmented intelligence, artificial intelligence, machine learning. Intelligence amplified is the last category, I think. What stage is Financial Force at, and what stage is Einstein at, do you think, in terms of what are you actually able to leverage in that platform?
We're certainly leveraging the native features on the platform, and that being the fact that Salesforce have provided account insights, opportunity insights, both those objects at the core of many of our applications being native on the platform. So customers are already able to use that in the user journeys and the workflows that they're undertaking around those objects. Salesforce Einstein Vision Service is something that I've been openly playing with in the community and sharing some vision and ideas about it, and that's obviously image recognition. And we're seeing some conversations, both internal and external, evolving around good old expenses. We're not talking OCR here. We're talking about sort of seeing trends in the way that recognizing what is expensable, what isn't, where did it come from, logos, pre-filling fields, using some intelligence that actually applying expenses is just a very simple act of just sending files to a certain location. That's really where the shift happens for me. It's actually genuinely saving you some time, and it's performing actions on your behalf. So it's using that information more effectively.
IBM Watson integration is due, I think, in third quarter. What's exciting you most about that when it comes?
Well, certainly IBM Watson has a broader set of functions and services than Einstein does right now. I saw a great demonstration in the community around sentiment. That's a really interesting one for analysing cases or feeds that you might be looking at around what your customers are saying or doing at the moment in terms of where you might want to take your skills and resources in different areas. I saw another example where Watson was looking at individuals and rating them in terms of their attributes. Are they outspoken? Are they quiet? How rapidly they're communicating in the community? So Watson was doing lots of those type of analytics, which might well help you in your resource allocation in terms of that if it's a particularly sensitive project, you might want somebody with certain stronger skills. And yes, you can express those skills in our products today static way, but using Watson technology to analyze it in a more AI perspective might give you some more interesting insight.
Are you talking about feeds like chatter conversations and things like that potentially?
The example I saw was actually broader than that. It could be used chatter, but the Watson example, I believe, was going out in a broader spectrum from that. So there are some really interesting tricks in the Watson library of services that are certainly broader than Einstein right now. It's interesting to have access to those and be able to consider whether or not they add anything extra beyond what Einstein might give today or in the future.
Last year at Dreamforce, you had an Alexa demonstration, which was quite impressive. Where's that moved on? And where are Financial Force taking the kind of bot experience? Are you delivering a bot soon?
There's no immediate plans to deliver a bot, but certainly since we did the Dreamforce announcement, it's had a steady amount of interest. People have come to me and said, I've built my Alexa integration. I've been using it in my organization. We decided at the time to open source it and get it out there, and it certainly generated a lot of traction and interest. But this is obviously people building their own localized integrations. In terms of a product integration, it's something that would certainly rule off, but it's not in the immediate pipeline at the moment. It just remains to be something that we use as a vehicle to get conversations going and understand where we might want to take it. We did use it recently with the Einstein Vision service, so we were actually able to voice enable Einstein Vision. It was an interesting mashup of two technologies in the AI space.
And what's exciting about technology, or what are the trends you're seeing this year?
We talked about many of them in this conversation. I really like automation. I'm always a bit of an API junkie. If we can get the machines to do some of the heavy lifting for us and focus on what are the real here and now problems, then I think that's a really exciting appeal. I have a real pet hate of putting my expenses in. It's something probably all of us loathe for doing. And the very prospect of just sending my files to some service and it figuring out what goes where and whether it's expensable is really appealing for me, a personal and a professional level. So I'm really looking forward to getting some use cases out there that are really genuinely saving time and allowing us to focus on either personal things or professional priorities.
In terms of the Salesforce platform, where do you see that heading?
It's clear Salesforce are embedding Einstein in more and more corners of the platform, and it's an interesting one because I think many people find it very hard to pin down exactly what Einstein is, because it's not a thing. It's not like a tab you go to in Salesforce and say that's Einstein. It appears in different areas, and we're seeing it now. Obviously, Wave has in fact been rebranded, so it's got Einstein at the heart of it. So I see Salesforce will continue making that journey forward and exposing more APIs for us. So we'll see features being Einstein-powered that we integrate with. We'll also see APIs that we can use as partners to enhance our services and functionalities. So it's a great combination of the fact that we're integrated with CRM and the standard objects, which are getting Einstein uplifts, as well as APIs that we're able to use. I think Einstein is certainly growing in its cover and availability.
I'm seeing a lot of announcements around from Financial Force and from its partners about improved integrations, and we're about to hear the ADP announcement. Expensify put out a press release. Vayner have just integrated deeply into Financial Force. How does that impact your role and what you do in terms of, are you looking to improve APIs, develop APIs, or it seems to be a trend that Financial Force are going down is to open up the platform a bit more?
Great question. I am a self-confessed API junkie, so to really lead the charge very strongly inside Financial Force in terms of building API first. All the functionality that we create and new, we always try to deliver an API for that, and it's the default position for us. You have to have a very good reason to change that default position, and sometimes it might be complexity, time to market, but the default principle inside R&D is to deliver API alongside new functionality. And that's paying off now, because we're seeing a lot of these integrations that we're building, in some cases we're involved in coding that, in some cases the partners are just doing it and consuming the APIs that we have out there. And of course Salesforce themselves provide very powerful APIs that just sit on top of our objects. So the two together are really starting to bear strong fruit in terms of just making that an easy conversation. We've got APIs, yes, we've got them coming out of our ears. Which one do you want to use? Often it's the decision of which type of API and when to call it is kind of the harder thing. It's rather not working around the lack of them is less of an issue these days.
And what's next on your strategy roadmap? What are your challenges ahead in terms of across the board, really?
In terms of APIs, specifically? Yeah, I think really making sure we harness the best possible use cases for AI and machine learning and really make sure people get that. I think it's a very hard area to get people to understand the value of it. So we need to talk with a lot of our customers and figure out really what the sweet spots are. And I think the trick there will be to come up with some really, not many, but some really high touch points in terms of what AI and machine learning really does change the way that customers interact with our products. And I think that's going to be one of the tricky ones, and looking forward to the challenge.
So if I was a customer, what are the key questions that you want to try and draw the answers out?
We're asking customers about not only things that happen as in the here and now. A project health example is kind of, well, how healthy is my project now? But what about when you're about to set up a project? How might you assign the resources? It's earlier in that process. And also, what might that look like with your revenue rate? If you go down this route, or you might go down another route. So there's a forecasting element to it as well. And then once you've actually complete a project, a good result of the project is often viewed as completed on time and in budget. But really, what are people saying about it? What's the sort of sentiment that they're getting from that? And that's sometimes hard to discern from the people that have maybe been involved in the project, because they've maybe bought into it. So using sentiment analysis, maybe getting more wider coverage of how people are using the system, gives you that process of understanding acceptability of the solution that you delivered. So I think there's many aspects of how it might touch the way they use the product, both before, in the middle and after, in terms of projects.
Are you looking at any applications within the pure finance area as well?
Finance is an interesting one, because obviously when you look at an account and you might judge what is its actual status, we carry in our product information that CRM doesn't have. Obviously, we have all the invoices and we have whether they're overdue on certain payments, allowing us to contribute to that account health concept that's already in CRM and say, well, actually, it's healthy from this perspective, but from a Financial Force perspective, here's some of the reasons why it might not be so healthy. I can see us definitely extending on some of those features that are in CRM and leveraging the fact that we've got a pot of financial information that can contribute to an opportunity. You know, we might want to go into an opportunity if they're particularly, they're overdue on certain invoices already. So I think the account insight and opportunity insight is something that we'll definitely be able to add value to because of the information that we hold in Financial Force applications.
In terms of extending HCM in the same way, are there any specific use cases you're seeing there?
Some of the HCM ones revolve around analysing people's skills and aptitudes. So the example I gave earlier with Watson, that's a potentially interesting one. Even if you're in the recruitment phase, you might want to use some of that technology to get some insights on that individual. They might say, well, I'm very active in the community, I'm always doing this, that and the other. But if you're using Watson's technology to scan that and that actually comes out to be not the case, then that's quite interesting intel, and vice versa. You know, some people might undersell themselves in terms of what they do in the community. I think the recruitment process in terms of AI will, it's not going to replace the usual type of information you're going to want when you're considering candidates, but it's going to certainly add an extra level of detail information that you might not have already, or it might take several man hours to go and find out. HCM and recruitment is an interesting one.
Thank you very much, Andy.